Karma Automotive, Forbes magazine's most anticipated luxury electric vehicle. Karma Automotive is a luxury EV brand designed and manufactured in California. Proud sponsor and official luxury vehicle of the Las Vegas Raiders. Charge the motion beyond EV. Karma Automotive. The Las Vegas Raiders have partnered with the global lifestyle app True Connect to give the gift of wellness. Transform your mind, body, and soul through thousands of hours of premium fitness content, guided meditations, progress tracking, and more. Visit tcfree.fit to redeem one free year of True Connect exclusively for Raider Nation.
The game is over, but we're just getting started. You're listening to The Fifth Quarter, presented by Twitch. On the Raiders Podcast Network.
Well, we hear the term going from 0 to 60 a bunch. Well, the Raiders went from 0 to 63 in the span of about, 96 hours. Eddie Pascal in the fifth quarter presented by Twitch with my guy, Jason Fitz. Fitz, where to begin? A lot to get to. Let's just start here, right?
No, Raiders. Eddie, we got to start with the most important thing.
Yeah.
All right. I was in the building for 3-0.
Yeah.
I was not in the building tonight. Like, this is on me. It's all my fault, right? Like, I'm sitting there 3-0. We talked about it a few days ago. I sat there thinking maybe we'll get a nothing tie. I could say I saw history. I had to come back to the East Coast for work, even though you politely invited
I did.
Me to have the opportunity. To come back to Allegiant.
Let's pause for 10 seconds. Let the record show that you were supposed to be in the building tonight for franchise history. You were supposed to be here. You had a spot in the press box. You had a credential. We had everything. We rolled out the silver and black carpet for you, but you couldn't make it work. So let's just let that sink in for a sec.
Yeah. So, you know, I saw franchise history on Sunday.
Yeah.
Just not the kind I wanted to see in the three. It's rare that either of us are speechless. And I think, you know, just peek behind the curtain here, right? Like, we're texting each other midway through the game. I told you, I don't even know how to process this. Like, I have never seen that sort of a turnaround, not just from the Raiders, but from any team, to see you go from abject disaster in a few days to suddenly dynamic. Like, they were about to do to the Chargers, essentially, what the Dolphins did to the Broncos earlier this year, that had us just absolutely viewing the franchise in a different way at the time. Like, this wasn't just a win. This is one of the most dominant performances I've ever seen by anybody at any point.
But to put this in perspective, right, the Raiders put up 0 points very famously, very notably on Sunday. At halftime, when I left Allegiant Stadium with Amber Theo Harris and EA, and I took the car over here, the Raiders were up 42-0. 42-0. And like I said, we're texting throughout the game, and there were so many moments throughout this game, Fit, where I kind of stop and I go, what are we doing here? And you and I were talking before we started rolling. I think it's very important that this fan base enjoys this, relish this. Sunday was a really, really bad day at the office. Sunday was not a fun day to wear the silver and black. Anytime you beat a division rival by, let me do my math real quick, 42 points, you do it at home on primetime, the entire NFL world is watching you do what you do, celebrate it. Enjoy every single second of this. Enjoy a victory Friday, enjoy a victory Saturday, enjoy a victory Sunday. If the players get the day off Monday, enjoy a victory Monday too. That said, I am baffled. I am confused. I feel as though the waters are a little murkier than they were, let's say, 6 hours ago. Like, it's a fantastic place to exist, Fitz, but, like, I really don't know how to feel.
I am so glad there's season left ahead.
Yes.
Even though it's only a few games, because I feel like what we've seen in the last 5 days contradicts itself so much. How do we figure out where the real normal is, right? Like, and miss me right now, anybody that's listening that wants to talk about who is missing for the Chargers or the fact that the Chargers had nothing to play for. Only days removed from a 3-0 loss, there is absolutely no reason not to have expected this team to come in and lay down. That's what most pro teams would do with this situation. Like, there's very little left to fight for. You know, I said a few days ago we would find out who AP is as a coach and what this locker room is all about by what level of give a damn they'd come into the game with. Well, I mean, that's the most stunning part of all of this, is that the Raiders out-efforted, out-exploded, out-everything the Chargers from the outset, because they just cared more. And they had no reason to care in this game other than personal pride. So I really feel like there is a statement to be made out of that.
Yeah, 100%. I think the credit has to begin with the interim head coach, Antonio Pierce, has this group ready to go. I mean, we were talking about it during the week where when you have such an emotional letdown, when you come out so flat, when the product on the field, particularly the offensive side of the football, just feels so static, how do you get a group up literally 3 days later, right? You play Sunday, you come in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and tonight you got to go. How do you get that group up? And man, round of applause, standing ovation, light all the cigars you want for Antonio Pierce, man, because he got this group ready to go. There was a unified front. There was a passion. There was an electricity in that building tonight. And I think it all begins with the man on the headset standing there on the sideline. But I think for me, Fitz, just to kind of start at the beginning, and I mean, good God, I don't know if we're going to have enough time before midnight to run through all the touchdowns and big plays from tonight. But starting early, I think the moment for me where I was like, okay, like, let's cook tonight, the second play from scrimmage. An incomplete pass, but Bo Hardery says, Aiden, let it rip, young fella. Let it rip. And I know all of us have been begging on our hands and knees, begging, please, 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 get your playmakers involved. And even though the pass was incomplete, right, I feel like that set a tone for what the Raiders are going to do all night. And, you know, 63 points later, you could say, hey, that's why you're aggressive, right?
Yeah, you could feel the aggressiveness in the play calling. You could feel the explosiveness from the offense. And Aiden, to the let it rip point, felt like he was ahead all night when it came to processing, something we've talked about a lot. And, you know, this is the second time he's played this team. I was really curious to see what growth we would see. We saw a ton of growth. And you could hear it on the broadcast as he was dissecting plays. In the second half, one thing that Kirk Herbstreit even mentioned was the control Aiden obviously had on the offense. You could see that. He was a step ahead of the Chargers defensively the entire way. Every time they moved something, it felt like Aiden knew where that ball was going to go. I thought a lot of the throws, especially in the first half, the deep throws that he was making that were deep outs, that were deep posts, that were sort of out and had to be right in a particular spot, were really well-placed. The couple of the touchdown throws, really well-placed. So you've got somebody that was playing with command and great ball placement. I just, you watch this moment. If you hadn't just seen what we saw a few days ago, you'd be sitting there saying, man, Aiden might be the answer. Like, it was that different than what we saw on Sunday.
You know, Aiden O'Connell finishes his day. Jason Fitz, 20 of 34, 248 and four. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4 touchdowns, tying the Raiders rookie franchise record with Derek Carr. So certainly good company to have there. But man, I mean, we talk about Aiden, we talk about the growth. And you said he hit the nail on the head, right? We've been looking to see that growth. We've been looking to see that improvement, not only from game to game, but series to series and candidly play to play. And Aiden was everything that we wanted him to be today, right? Raiders throw for 260 yards, more on those other 12 passing yards in just a second. But they run the ball incredibly well as well, Fitz. 26 times, 124 yards, all without the services of Pro Bowl running back Josh Jacobs. And Zamir, man, I thought to his credit, this is kind of the biggest example of Zeus. He came down from the heavens on a Thursday night on primetime. He goes 17 carries, 69 yards, and a touchdown, his first of his career. And I thought that Zamir did a really nice job of taking advantage of his opportunity. And look, we've heard from Antonio Pierce from day one. Well, I mean, since he took over. He goes, look, if Josh Jacobs is ready to go, it's hard to get Zamir on the football field. That's no fault of Zamir's. That's just reality. But I think Zamir did a really nice job of taking advantage of his opportunity, but also not doing too much. It felt like he was playing within himself, playing within the game plan. And on that opening drive, Fitz, we had three running backs touch the ball. And I was like, okay, little running back committee. I can dig this for sure.
Yeah, and by the way, I think Zamir was incredibly patient in his running today, which
agreed,
was really nice to see. And I mean, while we're talking about all of that, I also have to stand here and just standing ovation the offensive line. I mean, my God, like, we talked a few days ago about the changes because of the Andre James injury, and then you come into this game without Colton Miller, and you think, man, this could turn into a disaster. It did not, and in fact, the young fellow came out and played well. Like, I thought Mumford played well. Like, you look across the board, that offensive line, they kept going. Amazon did a nice job of going to that camera that would show you from the top what was happening. And every time I looked at that, it's like, there's a clean pocket for running. There's a clean pocket for passing. There are clean lanes all over the place. Like, the offensive line really came snappy in this one. And it was an impressive, impressive moment for them, for guys that were makeshift to gel together that quickly.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I was talking to some of our friends in the press box before the game, Fitz, and that was my biggest concern coming into tonight, was the fact that you were down a Colton Miller, you were down Andre James, you were down Josh Jacobs, and candidly, like, and we've talked about it a bunch, when the Raiders have been at their best in 2023, it's when they run the ball, right? It, you know, prior to tonight's, excuse me, offensive explosion, I didn't look at the Raiders as the reincarnation of the 2012 Oregon Ducks, right? Like, this was a team that was built on ball control, on establishing the line of scrimmage, winning time of possession. And when you're down your Pro Bowl left tackle, when you're down a really good center, and you're down one of the best running backs in the NFL, it doesn't really spell a recipe for being able to do that effectively. But give Bo Hardigree credit, give that entire, the big fellas up front credit, because they exerted their will against the Chargers team. And to be fair, it felt like you're down 42-0 at halftime. It's probably a little hard to get up for that. But they broke the Chargers. Simple as that, Fitz. They broke the Chargers, and the big fellas up front deserve a ton of credit for that.
Yeah, they stayed, because the big fellas were so good, they stayed ahead on down and distance too. And that was one thing that I thought was really, you know, as much as we talked about the fact that Aiden didn't press in this game, but still took the chances down the field, that's easier to do when you're at 2nd and 5 and 3rd and 2. I mean, that's the situation they were in. So it made it a little freer for him for the most part. They did a really nice job. And how many times did we see tonight the running back sort of run into the pile and the whole pile moved because they were just frankly going to make sure they moved it forward? I thought that was important because such a difference between 2nd and 5 versus 2nd and 8, it changes everything in the play calling. So it really felt like there was a understanding of that from the offense that just kept them ahead of schedule all day, which changed the play calling. It let Bo cook a little bit more with the way he was calling this game, I think.
You know, and we talk about, we talked about it so much on Sunday, Fitz, the third down struggles of the Raiders offense. I think it was 4 of 22, something like, it was bad. I think they were about 14% on third down. Well, in the first quarter, Raiders are 4 for 4 on third down. They finished the game 9 of 16 on third down. That's just under 57%. That'll do. That'll work. And, you know, obviously it helps when you're scoring touchdowns seemingly at will from offense, defense, special teams. Everyone's scoring touchdowns. But, I mean, that kind of – then we talk about that, Fitz. We talk about the improvement from Aiden. And Aiden deserves a ton of credit. Yes, he does. But this offense in general, collectively, were so much better on the money down, and it was so much fun to watch.
Yeah, and you have to think about sort of – why that happened and the effectiveness that we saw. And part of this, I also want to give a lot of credit to one thing that we haven't seen a lot of, which were new formations in different plays. I mean, we saw guys lining up in places they've never – there was one play particularly where you had two backs in the backfield and Mayer standing right behind AOC before he took the snap. And you looked at it and thought – I was looking at it thinking, what are they going to do? And then they sent Mayer in motion last second. It's interesting looks like that that created a different challenge with eye discipline for the Chargers. And realistically – when you talk about self-scouting and predictability, I don't know why that wasn't there last week. I'll never be able to answer that question. But I know we saw it this week, and the Chargers weren't ready for it. In the second half, we saw Jones jump a route where it was smartly pointed out on the broadcast. He'd obviously seen it in tape study. One team was ready. The other team was not. And you could see the discipline of the work done coming into the game and what a difference that makes. Huge plays all over the place.
I want to get back to the offensive creativity in just a second because I think Bo Hardigree deserves an ice cold bruchacho tonight. But let's just go back to that Jack Jones play, man. I mean, I texted you immediately after, a little expletive laden, so not really appropriate for our family program here. But, like, you talk about just athletic marvels. Like, what are we doing here? Like, Jack Jones, come on down, baby. I'll see you on SportsCenter tonight with SVP.
Yeah, and that's right after, by the way, Jenkins gets the 44-yard.
Yeah, big man touchdown. Let's go.
I mean, when you got a thick six, you also got to remember, like, you got big boy trying to bend over, pick up the ball, get it down the field. Like, that is just so much goes into that. But you know what really impressed me on both of those plays? But on the first one, on Jenkins, on the fumble recovery, what impressed me is he went down the field. He was surrounded by a group of Raiders that were running like a cloud around him. Not a single Charger in sight.
None.
Which tells you something about the effort, right? Like that has to speak. And then same thing when you have the beautiful, like when Jones gets that interception, the ball's a little behind him. He manages to corral it in. It was a beautiful, beautiful pick six. One of the most impressive, I think, to be able to move your body that way. But it took pre-snap play to, description. He needed to figure out what was there. He needed to jump the route. He needed to be able to corral the ball, and he needed to be able to get in. And he did all that with an explosiveness 2 weeks in a row we've seen him play with. Like, this is what I'm talking about when I talk about, like, what we can take away from this is there's a level of energy to all of this that, frankly, this team wouldn't have to have. A lot of teams with their record in their situation coming off a 3-0 would have quit.
Shameless plug alert, head on over to Raiders.com because I have seen some of the images from the Jack Jones interception, and brother, they do not disappoint. I mean, to me, Fitz, it feels like, you know, shout out White Chocolate. Remember Jason, what's his name? Jason, help me, Fanny. Jason Williams from the Kings back in the day. You know, he loved to have the layup going, you know, fake for the layup, and then behind the back like so. That's what it felt like. That's what it felt like, Jack Jones' interception. Mm-hmm. The best part, though, man, and there were so many incredible moments about tonight. Immediately after that pick six, Amazon cut to Mark Davis in his suite, and he had the best he had the same reaction as all of us. He's looking around. He's looking for his boys. Like, did you guys see that? Like, that was wild. I think there's such a level. There was such a level, such a feeling of like, hey, this is really fun. Like, we're in the middle of a moment right now. We're having a lot of fun playing football, and now we're just seeing freak athletes be freak athletes. And it was a dude. It was a blast. It really was.
I think there's a palpable joy, especially coming off what we just saw, that makes all of this. You know, let's be real for a second. The waters are muddy right now because. I even talked to somebody, just a buddy, a couple of days ago, and they said, oh, man, it had to suck to be at that game, you know, losing 3-0. And I said, you know, a couple of things. It never sucks to be at a Legion. It's a beautiful thing. I love being around Raider Nation. There's a camaraderie and joy and spirit to all of it that's incredible, you know. So I never take that for granted. But also, there are certain games in the season that you look at it and sort of breaks you, and you think, okay, I now know who this team is. And that's where I was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, even today on one of the shows I hosted for Yahoo, as I was asked about it. I was like, nope, it just speaks to the fact that everything's in reset mode. Well, then you see this tonight, and it does at least crack open the window of hope. And again, yeah. I don't really care what situation the Chargers were in. When you lay 63 on a team, that's a statement. When Aiden O'Connell makes some of the throws he made today, you look at it, you're like, ah, could Aiden be the answer? And then you look at the way they played today, you're like, ah, could AP be the answer? Like, this is why, again, I'm glad this wasn't the last game of the season, because Mark Davis is having a blast doing this. Like, we need to see more film on all of these guys if we genuinely want to know what to do for the future of the franchise.
You know, and I'm glad you brought up, I mean, obviously Aiden's day, but, you know, I kept thinking throughout the course of the, what was it, 9 touchdowns the Raiders scored? Yeah, 9 touchdowns tonight. Tonight was such a big, I think when we look back, when we zoom out, and look, whatever happens over the next, let's call it 30, 45 days will happen. But when we zoom out and we look at this team, let's say a year from now, tonight felt like a really big moment for the young guys, for the young nucleus, the young core of this team. Aiden O'Connell, 4 touchdowns. Zamir White, a guy in his second year, his first career touchdown. Michael Mayer, rookie, touchdown. Trey Tucker, 2 touchdowns. I mean, you're looking at guys now that don't have a ton of NFL experience under their belt. Guys that are learning together, growing together, and they're putting up points. They're doing it in a meaningful way. I mean, let's include Malcolm Kuntz in that. I know a guy who's been in the league for a hot minute, but a guy who's getting his chance now, a guy who is exceeding, excelling with the opportunities given to him. And it feels like we are on the brink, we're on the precipice of kind of turning the page in a new way, a new era of Raiders, a new generation of these young guys, these rookies. Thayer Mumford, right? Second-year dude, goes wire to wire pretty much at left tackle. Like, you're looking at these young guys really kind of coming into their own, doing it on prime time, doing it on a short week. And I think that, to me, if you're a fan of the team, regardless of what happens the next 3 weeks, regardless of what happens the next 90 days, you can look back and be like, all right, there's something there. There's something palpable there. There's something we can feel there that these young guys are doing, and they're doing it at a high level.
I think it's important that you mention Malcolm Kuntz. He got a shout out on the broadcast several times, and I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again in case the new audience has never heard it before. When he was drafted, Lance Leipold was his coach at University of Buffalo, now the coach at Kansas, and I've known Coach for a very, very long time. So when he was drafted, I text Coach at the time, and I said, hey, buddy, like, who do my favorite team just get? And I'll never forget the response he gave me. I was covering the draft that year for ESPN, and he said, man, this kid is going to be special. He's going to be very good. He can play in the league for a long time. He needs to go someplace that will give him 3 years to grow into himself. If some pace will be patient with that, he can show something. Well, this is year 3 for Malcolm Kuntz. And now what do we see? Like, he's taking advantage of the one-on-one matchups he gets because Max is on the other side. And there's an energy. Like we said a month ago, who on this defense brings what Max brings any other snap? We have seen that ascension over the course of the last month. Like, I think there is an explosiveness with the way Kuntz is playing. And it's just a reminder that sometimes, I'm going to say this very, very clearly because it doesn't just apply to Malcolm Kuntz. Sometimes it takes a little while for pass rushers in the NFL to develop into whatever version of a pass rusher they're going to be. It's taken Malcolm Kuntz a little bit of time to do that. But the way he played tonight, You just, it felt like you were watching somebody that is feeling and feeding off of that max energy in a way that you can feel when he plays right now.
First career multi-sack game for Mr. Coons, right? And it feels like he's getting better week after week after week. Just like, you know, to be candid, this defense as a whole is getting better week after week after week. And I think that when we look at Malcolm, and you and I have had this conversation a million times about, okay, we need Max to have that Batman to his, or excuse me, we need to have the Robin to Max's Batman. And obviously, a lot of us thought that was going to be Chandler Jones this year. That situation unfolds the way that we all know it did. So who's going to be that guy, right? And I think the obvious answer when we sat here week one, week two, week three was it's got to be Malcolm, right? You know, asking Tyree Wilson to come in and be that guy coming off of an injury, getting acclimated to life in the NFL, felt like a tall task. It did. Who's the guy, who's the incumbent, if you will, that you want to see more from? And the obvious answer was Malcolm Coons. And to your point, it has taken him a little bit to, I don't want to say get comfortable, but to start having these big explosive plays like we've wanted to see. And you have it tonight with the two sacks, three quarterback hits. Am I reading this correctly, too? Did he have two forced fumbles also? I remember the one. Yeah. Malcolm got two.
He also had, he had two forced fumbles in this game. I mean, that's... And
how's that for
that's
stat
the
line?
Stuff when you start, I mean, and so look at where he is now, because I think quarterback hits is a big number. So doing the math real quick on where he is on the season, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then two more tonight at least. So he's at 12 or 13 hits alone this season. So I think we have to look at what's starting to happen. And by the way, there's still three games left. The way Coons is playing right now, he could get himself into that 6-7 sack range, which, by the way, when you start to think about that moving forward, gives you a lot more confidence in what they're trying to do. We knew that it was going to be defensive end by rotation on the other side of Max. Like, that's just part of the way the position was going to be played. And I think your point about Chandler's an important one. Also, it put Tyree into a situation where he was being asked to contribute quicker than expected too. So I look at some of these building blocks and we say, okay, like we talked about a few days ago, but like Spillane, yet again, is always around the football. Yeah. Divine Diablo had some big hits in the course of this game. Malcolm Coons is somebody that is growing. Max Crosby is still young in this league. You just keep going across. And Jones, that we talked about with the pick six, playing with an aggressiveness where right now you say, man, he looks like he could be part of the future of this franchise. Like, there are pieces to that. And then when the young guys rise and a guy like Tillery has the game like he had today, he was explosive in this game too. So it's just... everybody seems to be feeding everybody else on this defense right now.
Yeah, you can't tell me tonight didn't mean something a little extra special to Mr. Tillery, huh? Kind of felt it.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of felt it. Just saying. But, man,
don't blame him at all.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, you know, there's so many... like I said, there are so many moments from tonight. There are so many awesome things that happened. There are so many, in the best possible way, Fitz, things that have now kind of clouded, you know, what we saw on Sunday. And I think that's the big takeaway, you know, we'll have to figure out over the next 3 weeks is who were the 2023 Raiders? Were they closer to the team that lost 3-0 at home to the Vikings? Or are they closer to the team that set a franchise record for points and absolutely dominated a division rival on a short week 4 days later? So that remains to be seen. But I want to, just because tonight was such a historic night, Fitz, we got a lot of numbers that we've got to run through. Our PR staff was working double, triple overtime. Our stats crew, our people who feed our stats channel, were grinding for obvious reasons because it felt like we had no shortage of incoming stats. So let us just go. And I picked a few that really tickle me. And I got to scroll all the way up because, like I said, there were a lot here. Okay, your Las Vegas Raiders scored a touchdown on three straight drives to open the game. The last time the Raiders did that was in November 2015. The rest of the NFL has only done that six times in 2023. We started off hot. Things were going well early, Fitz, 21-0. The Raiders scored three offensive touchdowns in the first quarter for the first time since September 18th of 1994. Been a long time. Been a real long time.
Wow.
Okay. The last time the Raiders had two offensive players score their first career touchdowns in the same game, so we're talking about Zamir and Trey Tucker, was week two of 2015. That was Amari Cooper and a gentleman that you and I were discussing earlier, friend of the program, Seth Roberts.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Look at that.
And then actually, this is a nice kind of tie into everything that you and I were talking about earlier, Fitz, in terms of being aggressive, of airing it out, of saying, hey, we got nothing to lose. Let's go put some points on the board. Aiden O'Connell this is when Aiden only had two touchdowns. So keep that in mind. We're just two at this point. Aiden O'Connell had two passing touchdowns of 20 plus air yards so far tonight. He had one in his first seven games combined. Uno.
Wow. That is okay. So that's an electric stat because it shows you something worked tonight. And I have to remind everybody again, that's without Josh Jacobs.
Yes. Right?
So it's not like the defense was sitting here saying, well, we got to account for Josh Jacobs. And as a result, like, if anybody tells you they knew what to expect from Zamir White tonight, they were lying. Like, you have no idea. So that one's particularly impressive to me.
Here's another good one. The Raiders scored five touchdowns on offense in the first half of a game for the first time since October 29th of 1972. Daryl LaMonica threw three touchdown passes, and the team enjoyed touchdown runs from Clarence Davis and Charlie Smith. Got a lot.
Holly, like the history of the, like, that's one of those moments. Again, if you're Mark Davis and you read it, you're thinking, man, that this one feels particularly good when you're doing something that hasn't been done since, you know, his dad's day.
We talked about the young guys earlier, kind of what this means for their development, what this means in the grand scheme of things, Jason Fitz. With Michael Mayer, Trey Tucker, and Zamir White all scoring in the first half, the Raiders had three players under the age of 25 score a touchdown. Only the third time in franchise history where three Raiders under 25 scored in a half. The last time that happened, October 29th, again, of 1972, Raymond Chester, Clarence Davis, and Mike Siani. The other time, October, some magic in October back in the day, October 1 yeah. of 1961, I will be completely honest with you, Fitz. I do not recognize any of these names. I'm not calling you old, but I think you have a better chance of getting one of these than I do. What do you got for Bob Coolbaugh, Wayne Crowe, nothing. Or Alan Miller?
Nothing.
0-3.
Man, nothing.
Legends.
Nothing. It does sound like a heck of a, like, they sounds like the original White Christmas. Those were the actors in it. That's what it feels like.
See, I thought it was like a Crosby, or a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. It was Coolbaugh, Crowe, and Miller.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do like that, actually. Yeah. It's pretty good. Like, yeah. It's one of those moments where we got to get, like, JT, I'm sure, has a story about all of them at some point. So, you know, like that, we need a real historian in on that one.
Another good one, you know, we talk about kind of the duality of last week to this week. With 35 points in the first half after being shut out the previous week, Raiders now have the NFL record for most points in a half following a shutout, obviously. Good for tonight, not so good for the other night. The Raiders' largest margin of victory prior to tonight, Jason Fitz, 41 points, 51-10. You know when that was?
No.
October again. Something about October. 1967.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the craziest part with all of this, Eddie, is that, like, think about what's ahead for the next few weeks. Like, I'm not talking about for the next few years, but if you are Mark Davis, if you are fans, if you're the organization and you're trying to get some sort of a sense of what the future could look like, the fact that the Raiders just did this to the Chargers, they now get the mini bye to get ready for the Chiefs, and then they will close the season, and they have the Colts in between. They will close the season with the Broncos. Like, everything in the division is right here, right now. It's the best way you could ever make an assessment of where this team is. Because you're taking on today, you know, you'll be taking on a Chiefs team on Christmas Day that has absolutely everything to play for. Mm-hmm. Everything right now. Playoff seeding is such a huge deal. And you'll be taking on a Broncos team that at the end of the year has absolutely everything to play for. So you don't have to worry about, oh, well, you took this team on while they were laying down. And I realize that's going to be part of the argument again with the Chargers. But the Raiders started today in the same exact spot the Chargers are in. So all things being all things, you have to look at this and say, man, the opportunity to fairly judge, assess this quarterback, this front office, this head coach, it's there in part, not just because of tonight, but in part because what it sets up for the next month and the games that are remaining.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no... It's hard to kind of overstate the importance of what tonight meant just in terms of the rest of the road, right? Like, and look, will this team make the playoffs? Who knows? Do they control their own destiny? I'm not a mathematician, but probably not. You're probably going to need some help. But all the same, I mean, it makes for an immensely exciting final three games. I got two more stats for you, Fitz. I gave you plenty of time in the pre-production. Yes. Jacoby Myers is the second Raider with a passing and receiving touchdown in the same game. Who is the other one?
All right, so I've gone back and forth on this. Here's my logic. Okay. I'll give you my logic to how I come to this answer. I feel like a trick play like this would be more recent, And I feel like it would have to be a guy that wasn't your main guy, but still somebody that's athletic. So I will go because of the role he played on that team. Zay Jones.
Ooh, Zay Jones, great option. It actually is Hall of Famer Marcus Allen.
Okay, yeah. I should have known.
Yeah.
I feel like I should have known that. Like that one, I feel like I've seen Marcus Allen do that. Now that you say it, like, I feel like, did he? Okay, what game was it? Do we have it? Do we know?
It's on October 16th. Fenn, do you have the opponent
October.
Pulled up?
Always
yeah, always October. Also, yeah, really weird, the October notices. Who we got, Fenny?
Seahawks.
Per Fenn here.
I don't know.
Yeah. Also, I was looking up when we were going through this little exercise, Fitz, I was looking up Marcus Allen's passing stats. This guy's got like 6 career touchdowns. Like, this is not like, oh, something I did every once in a while. He had 3 passing touchdowns in a year, in one season. He found the end zone 3 times via his arm. Wild. Wild, wild, wild. Right. And the last one before we look ahead, Jason Fitz. The Raiders are the 6th team in the Super Bowl era to score 56-plus points in the first 3 quarters of a game. The others, Patriots scored 59 in 2009. The Eagles scored 59 in 2010. The Raiders scored 59 in 2010. And then what else do we got here? Falcons in 2014 and Niners in 1992. How about that? Oh, actually, I got one more for you. Last one. Last one on our way out here. The Raiders are the first team to take a 56-point lead in a game since the Falcons led the Bucs 56-0 on September 18th, 2014. There are only 2 teams that have ever led by 60-plus points in a game, Fitz. And, brother, I don't think you're going to get either of them. The Bears, who won 73-0 in the 1940 title game, as it was called back then. And then, finally, the Eagles, who won 64-0 over, I am not making this up, the Cincinnati Reds on November 6th, 1934.
Well, that's what happens when you play a baseball team.
Yeah.
Okay, I know a baseball team. I'm kidding. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Try the
deal.
Yes,
yes.
Tip your servers.
But, man, I mean, I know it is really hard, and I think that, you know, this is a conversation we'll probably have to have at the end of the year, Fitz, about, like, kind of the historical place that tonight, you know, lands in the history of this franchise, because I think that it is worth, you know, when we all have a little more time kind of diving in and really kind of pulling out some of the absurd numbers that came out from tonight. And look, you know, I was joking with AJ Cole last week. I said, look, anytime that, because, you know, he has set the franchise record for longest punt on Sunday. I said, look, anytime you set a franchise record here, it means something, because this team has played a lot of football. There have been a lot of incredible players that have walked through these hallways. There's a lot of weird stuff that has happened. So some of these obscure numbers, you're like, oh, wow, that didn't make sense. But anytime you set a franchise record, and the fact that the Raiders put up 63 points tonight, I think it's worthy of having a legitimate conversation about where this ranks in the pantheon of great Raiders evenings.
Yeah, I think there's also a moment of, if you're trying to set a tone for the culture of what you want to be as an organization, and, you know, for all the conversation about tanking, which I think we can all agree the NFL has proven doesn't exist here, too many bad teams have won games.
Mm-hmm.
So in a world where tanking isn't really a thing, I think we have to remember that part of what is they're trying to accomplish as a team right now is not just everybody playing for their jobs, but everybody coaching for their jobs. It's also an attempt to show, hey, this is who we're going to be as an organization. If Antonio Pierce had come out and just absolutely laid down as a coach, if the Raiders had come out and laid down, I think there'd be real questions to ask about, you know, the players that want to be a part of it and don't want to be a part of it, the Devontaes, the Maxes, like, what's it mean for all of the guys that are out there sacrificing so much to play? When they come out and play with the level that they played with today, especially coming off of the loss, I do think it speaks to something with this organization and this team right now that is trying to rebuild a new identity as a team that fights this way and plays this way. And I it gave me goosebumps when they asked the AP coming out what to expect in the second half. And he said, keep the foot on the gas. Like, we've watched this Raiders team over the last couple of years blow some massive leads. And I think I speak for every fan that saw 21-0 and immediately thought, plenty of time, still a way to choke. I think at some point, if you want to turn that culture around, man, you got to turn that culture around. So this is a moment to celebrate for Raiders fans. We can worry about the future and what it means for the rebuild of the organization and draft stat and all of these things. There's a place and a time for that right now for everybody that works so hard to try and win games. That's all anybody in that locker room cares about and should care about.
Yeah, 100%. We had another cigar night per the Twitter.com or X or whatever we're calling it these days. A very, very well-deserved cigar night for the Silver and Black Fits. But just before we get out of here, we got three games left, right? This is what the Raiders are guaranteed at this point. You get the mini bye. This team won't play football again until Christmas morning, which is wild. Just to think about kind of the time now in between games, in between actual real game action. We talked about Antonio said post-game, going to have a nice little break for the guys. They're going to have the day off on Friday. I believe they're going to have the day off on Monday as well before they come back on Tuesday ready to rock. Or is it Tuesday or Wednesday? I think walkthrough Tuesday. Whatever. They're going to have a nice long weekend. Expectations for these final three. Obviously, I think if you're a fan, you say, hey, run the table, let's get weird, see kind of where the chips fall in early January. But in terms of like realistic, yes, take the wins and losses out of it if possible. Like, what do you want to see from this final three?
I think you've got to look at that Christmas Day game and a couple of things. Remember, Minnesota was coming off the bye. Team looked terrible, right? So where's the line between rest and keeping some sort of a rhythm, right? So I think how does the coaching staff utilize the mini bye to put in more wrinkles? You're going to have to out-coach Andy Reid. Like, that's just real. You're going to have to out-coach. You're not going to out-quarterback Patrick Mahomes. So you better out-coach Andy Reid. But this is a Chiefs team that is gettable. And they show that every week. They prove that every week. They are gettable. And I keep going back to learning from what you saw the first time. What difference do we see from Spillane in this game, from guys that haven't necessarily seen the Chiefs before? And what difference do we see from Aiden O'Connell? So, like, I think there's still an opportunity. Right now, if I'm sitting in Mark Davis's shoes, I have no idea what I should do at the end of this season. So what I want to see is what the jump is from a Chiefs team that you've just faced a few weeks ago, you're going to face right now on Christmas Day, on a national platform, you know, in front of that many eyeballs. That's going to be a huge day for the NFL. Mark Davis is not going to want to go into Arrowhead and get embarrassed. And we've seen that. Like, you cannot go into that stadium and get embarrassed. So to me, this is that moment. I'll go back to the last year before the huge Gruden run when the Chiefs had so much on the line. The Raiders go in to Arrowhead before, you know, in the first iteration of Gruden, they get that big win at the end of the year, keeps Kansas City out of the playoffs, really vaults the Raiders. I think that's the most important thing. That game in front of them, can they compete with Kansas City at Arrowhead? That's the biggest thing I want to see in the last three games.
Yeah, I think for me, Fitz, it's, you know, I feel like we've had great moments here. We've had bad moments here. I would love to see this kind of even out over the final three, right? I mean, tonight was awesome. Tonight was incredible. We talked about the historic nature of what we saw tonight. Look, would I love for the Raiders to set another franchise record for points on Christmas Day? Absolutely, I would. But I just want to see kind of consistency, right? And as crazy as it sounds, we've seen that from the defense all of 2023. Patrick Graham's group, I mean, tip of the hat to Patrick Graham for doing his thing all of 2023. I mean, that group has been about as steady as they come. Right? Let's see that from the collective now over these final 3 weeks. Let's see a calm, composed, in charge, in control, Aiden O'Connell. Let's see this running game keep rocking, keep doing its thing. What does it look like if Josh comes back? What does it look like about, you know, is Zamir, if he has to be the guy for another week, is he able to kind of build on what he did this afternoon or this evening at Allegiant Stadium? So that's the big one for me. Consistency. Let's see it. I love the highs. I don't necessarily love the lows. Let's stay right in the middle and kind of see where things shake out in early January, Fitz. But this was a lot of fun, man. I mean, I left Allegiant confused in a good way about what I had just seen. We finished the game, still pretty confused. I chatted with you here, still pretty confused in the best possible way. But you know what? I'm just embracing it. I tweet. I feel like I do it every game day in some capacity. I said, let's just get weird, see what happens. Raiders certainly got weird today. They got weird in the best possible way. And here's three more days of weirdness, Fitz. Let's do it. On our way out, 30 seconds of plugs. Jason Fitz, where can the people find you?
You can follow me at Jason Fitz on social media. Plus, check out all the work I'm doing out at Yahoo. Get the Yahoo Sports app. We're doing some really cool stuff. A lot of quick hit videos that we love on the NFL, college football, all things sports. Got a lot of great writers out there, too. So be sure you check that out. And Fox Sports Radio on Saturday mornings. The fellas, you can hang out with us there, too.
Yeah. Hang out with Fitz everywhere. Hang out with him. Hang out with us. We are on a nice little, I mean, we talked about it. We're on a mini buy now. This is fantastic. It sounds as crazy as it sounds. 11 days now till the next time the Raiders play football, which is pretty bizarre. So we're actually going to get two Sundays of NFL football, Fitz. How about that? We're going to get we have Saturday games this week too, don't we? Is this the first Saturday?
Yeah, we have Saturday games this weekend.
How about that? A lot of football to watch, a lot of football still on the horizon, and I cannot wait to break it down with you the rest of the way. So, for Eddie Pascal and Jason Fitz on a historic night in Las Vegas, and everyone else at Silver and Black Productions, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Enjoy the mini bye, everyone. Happy holidays, and we will see you guys on Christmas morning. It'll be Christmas afternoon by the time we hang out for our next episode of The Fifth Quarter, presented by Twitch.
Thank you for listening to The Fifth Quarter, presented by Twitch. Make sure to download the Raiders mobile app, and we'll see you next week.